As we continue with our study of Genesis, reading it, sometimes painfully, we have to struggle with dark times, difficult situations, things which are just morally evil, as it were. And we have to still deal with it. The scriptures were written candidly, clearly, not to endorse, but sometimes to help us to realize the extent to which life a person may fall into. And that is a real wake-up call to all of us, to understand that we cannot take sin lightly, we cannot take life circumstances easily, because we can be deceived and we can end up with thinking wrong thoughts, leading to bad things ultimately. Well, let's seek the Lord's grace and mercy and wisdom as we look at the last part of Genesis chapter 19. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for enlightenment and for grace and mercy to know how we can and should respond as we read your word. We pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us to understand this difficult and dark passage that we are going to read. We pray that you will open our understanding further. We pray for your mercies, for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. As we take a look at Genesis 19 now, the angels have come and they have returned to heaven. Lot is rescued. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were now destroyed forever. What's left behind now? Well, we are going to take a look at what happened. And this is a really sad story to read. Sometimes we wish such stories do not have to be written. But the reality of it all is that these things can happen, they do happen, and the best thing to do is to learn how to learn the right lessons so that we will not repeat them. In chapter 19, we read about how God destroyed the cities of the plain. Sodom and Gomorrah were the cities of the plain. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Well, we see the cities of the plain here. Now, it was Lot who said to the angel, or to the angels, right? He wanted to stay in Zoar, and he didn't want to go to the mountains because it was really, really a tough ride. He was afraid that he might die there, some mishap would happen, and it became a problem. Now, we read this. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. What happened? Well, I mean, you just imagine this. What happened? He wanted to stay in Zoar. To him, it was a safe place. Chances are he probably knew this place. Chances are that he really have traded with this place because he lived in the cities of the plain. Sodom and Gomorrah were cities of the plain there. Zoar was just probably just outside your commercial, your CBD, as it were. Right? And they were just not, immediately under the scrutiny of the Lord, but Zoar was there, closely associated, most likely. Now, if Sodom and Gomorrah were totally destroyed, And Lot and the two daughters were the only people who survived. How would the people of Zoar regard Lot and their two daughters? Now, we're not told exactly what they said, what they did, but you can possibly imagine that they would not be very welcome there. How did the three escape when everybody else died? They would ask Lot, what happened? And he may have tried to tell his part of the story and how angels came, and then it was God's decision. Now, if they were people who did not believe in God, as you might imagine, how would this story go about? How would they receive this word? Not very likely that they would be happy. Did they have friends in Sodom and Gomorrah? Most likely. Were there relatives as well who had died? Possibly. And the only people who escaped from there, Lot and his two daughters, they would not be very, very welcoming as far as they were concerned. And so Lot left Zoar, right? Would they rent a place for him to stay? Not likely. Would he be able to start all over again? Not really. So when you have go to a place, you imagine that you can stay there safely, but you have not factored in one thing. What if the people don't accept you? And that was what happened. If they had just listened to the angels and gone ahead to the mountains, they would probably be safer. They can start afresh. Right? Because, you know, the past would be the past, but Lot could not part with the past easily. So he thought Zoar would be a good place to start, and he made another mistake. First mistake, he left Uncle Abraham. Second mistake, cities of the plain where Sodom and Gomorrah were there. Now the third mistake, Zoar, thinking that he would just be able to carry on where he left off. That was not the case. Well, the scriptures tell us about two nations that were always quarreling with Israel and Judah. And the two nations are called Moab and Ammon. And sometimes we ask ourselves, who are these people? How come they were so antagonistic towards Israel? What was their problem? Why were their enemies, as it were, sworn enemies right from the beginning? What was the problem? Well, today we're going to look into how these two nations came about. And they do not have a very nice history at all. They had problems, obviously, and you can just imagine the difficulties that were there, right? These two nations constantly fought with Israel, oppressed Israel, and particularly in the days of the judges, they were a real headache to Israel, and they gave them no peace there, right? In Judges 3, for example, Moab oppressed, dominated Israel for 18 long years. That was a problem with Moab. And when we talk about Moab, Moab and Ammon were so close together that very often one, when you see the presence of one, chances are the other one is as close by, assisting one way or another. Well, let's take a look at a quick review of Lot's life and see what happened so that we can understand this story a little bit more. Well, his own father died when he was fairly young. Uncle Abraham took him on, brought him into the family, and so he followed his uncle all the way from Haran to Canaan. That's good so far, right? And there came a time when or he went to Egypt, he came back, he had found some measure of success. But of course, if you were to compare uncle and nephew, nephew was not doing as well as uncle. Understandably, Abraham was a little older, a little wiser, and the most important part of it all was that God was with him. And, you know, Uncle Abraham seemed to be doing so well. In Genesis 13, he splits with the uncle. I think we all know that story well enough now. And he looked at the plains of Jordan, and he looked at the cities there. He knew that Sodom was not a good, great city. Nevertheless, he said, well, I'm going to choose that city. Since you allow me to choose, I'm going to choose this place here. And so he did. And he would spend there quite a few years. He had a family there. The children had grown up. And there was a family of Lot. There's no question about that. We're not talking about how they were just young teenagers. They were not. They were already, in every sense of the word, they were adults. So a good number of years have passed by. Right? So that was what. Now, he lost everything. What could he have brought with him? Perhaps not very much. Because the angels grabbed each one by the hand. So how much could Lot have held in the other hand? Probably not a whole lot. And that was a very, very obvious situation. So he was thinking, why don't I stay in Zoar? In chapter 19, 20-22, he asked, can I stay here? Please let me stay here. He says, look, I don't want to go to the mountains. Can I just stay here? It's only a small little city. That's why it's called Zoar. And the angel said, all right, you may stay here. And then we read this in chapter 19, in verse 21. And so the angel said, I have favored you. I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Right? So the grace of God, the mercy of God, the favor of God, they were all extended to Lot. Right? Then he decided he did not want to stay in Zoar. He was uncomfortable. He was rejected, most likely. He knew that he couldn't make a head start in any way. The angels were right. Go to the mountains. Go and make your life differently from what you used to. But Lot was difficult for him to change. There was almost nothing to look forward to. Right? All the years of work that he had put in. Now, he's not getting any younger either. Abraham had since by then reached 100 years old. How many years was he? He was not a young man anymore. His daughters were already grown up. Well, what about it? If only he had gone, it would be an important thing. Now, please understand this, that when the angel said, escape to the mountains, the first word is escape. Now, don't think that the angels expected them to live in a mountain caves where there's nobody, they are hermits. Now, that's not what the angels meant. Well, the idea of here, first and foremost, is to escape, right? And the mountains would provide a place of safety, of reflection, before you go on further, right? So the mountains would be there, and the mountains were very often used in the scriptures to describe a place where you can see God. Moses went to the mountain and he saw God. He went to Mount Horeb. It's called the mountain of God, as it were. Right? So all these places, all these opportunities were made available to Lot. Go to the mountains, escape there first and foremost. You don't have to stay there. He just simply said, escape to the mountains. He does not say you have to stay there. There is for you to look at what you have escaped from. You've not escaped from something good. You've escaped from something bad. Nobody escaped from something good. There is no need to. But when you look at evil, when you look at something which is wicked, then the correct word would be escape. Otherwise, you'll be ensnared. So that is a correct word. Right? Unfortunately, it was not something that Lot actually fully comprehended. He may have thought of it literally. And you wanted me to stay in a mountain? The angel said, escape to the mountain. They did not say, stay in the mountains. They did not say, dwell in the mountains. They just simply said, escape to the mountains. You can plan your next move there, from there. They did not say, okay, from here onwards, you are now domiciled to the mountains where, you know, that you don't have anything there. That's not how that works. Right? So this is important. This is not Julie Andrews' song about there live in a mountain, a little goat herd. It's not that kind of a scenario. But it was truly an escape that would really be helpful for him to ponder his next move. But Lot quickly decided his next move. Let me stay here in Zoar. Now, that is very, very obvious. So he said that he really wanted to stay there, right? And this is where that problem began. And so he was now out of Zoar, now he's gone to the mountain, right? If he had gone to the mountain earlier, reflected with a clear mind, with a good, clean heart, he would have not made this mistake. Now, there are lots of options. He can humbly go back to Abraham and, humbly say, you know, uncle, you know, I was wrong. Can I come back? He could have done that, but he did not do that, right? So this was what happened. Now, we take up from here. Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. There's a difference between escape to the mountains and dwell in the mountains. And Lot didn't fully figure it all out. And his two daughters were with him, and we read he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. So there was some danger there. He might be manhandled, the people may not have liked him, and so on and so forth. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Was that what the angel said? No. The angel simply said, escape to the mountains, right? Hurry, escape there. But he did not say, dwell there. Lot ended up dwelling in the mountains. And of course, if you dwell in the mountains, I mean, you can just understand how what happened. What would you do now? You're old. Your plans at Sodom and Gomorrah, they all went up in smoke. You stay in Zoar, he's afraid there because the people probably didn't like him very much. If they were anything like Sodom and Gomorrah, they wouldn't like him very much, certainly. And that was a problem. So he didn't know what to do next. And so he just stayed and dwelt in the mountains. Well, that is an unfortunate situation. Was this something that God wanted him to end up with? The answer was no, right? But there were other things that he could have thought of, including going back to his uncle, but that was not in his mind, and so he is good as a stay and stuck in a mountain there. And then the firstborn said to the younger one, in verse 31, look at her reasoning. And her reasoning is simply along these lines. A father is old, number one. Right? Now, that will tell you why Lot did not do very much. He was getting on in age. He was literally old as far as the daughter was concerned. Right? In other words, they don't expect very much out of him. Now, the second line of reasoning is, there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth, meaning to say, there is no man to marry us. Well, that's not true. You see, one of the things that could happen was that the father could arrange for marriage for the daughters, or the mother could do that. But mother is gone. They didn't mention the mother in any way. We don't know how close they were to their mother, but all they had was their father, and they were dwelling in a cave, and they didn't think too much out of it. There is no man on the earth. Well, that is absolutely not true. It's just that Lot was not keen about going anywhere. Would you like to visit that village? No. Would you like to go something else? No. What do you want to do? Nothing. Now, that is a sad reality of a person who is old, who is dejected, who is depressed, who is just not quite himself. It was one stage where he was irrepressible. Well, let me go over to Sodom. I want to, make it rich there. But not now. There was the daughter assessment of father is old is correct. No man on the earth, incorrect. The third one was disastrous. Come, let us make our father drink wine. Well, that was the plan. And we will lie with him so that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Now, that was entirely wrong completely. Right? But how do you understand this? Now, was it Lot's fault? No, because the daughters were there with him. Right? But, how close was he to the daughters? Maybe not all that close. Right? He offered the daughters to the man of Sodom. So you can imagine, did Lot have any evil intentions on the daughters? The answer is no, definitely not. One, he's old. This is not in his mind. He offered his daughters away. There were so many things conflicted in his mind, and he just couldn't think straight. And so the daughters came up with a plan. Unfortunately, this was a plan that was thought out. And so they said, come, let us make our father drink wine. Knowing that the father would not in any way do anything to the daughters as long as he was not drunk. So the key and the plan was, let's make our father drink wine. And then he was drunk. And then he doesn't know what he's doing. And we will lie with him so that we may preserve the line or the lineage of our father. And so in verse 31, they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Now that was what we call incest. And this is something that is unfortunate, but it was all planned. How did they come to such thought, to such a level of thought in the first place? Now, it would not surprise me that these kind of sin problems were probably in Sodom and Gomorrah, among other things. Right? Because on their own, they would probably not have come up with thoughts like that. Now, they had all kinds of wrong thoughts. Right? All they wanted was, these were the daughters who were, as it were, had sons-in-law. In other words, at least betrothed if they were not married. So they understood the idea of what it means. They're not kids. They understood what was happening. They wanted to have a lineage for their father. So the father's name would be preserved. so that the father's line would not die with them being old maids. But what were they thinking? Right? So they knew that the father would not do this on his own. What they're going to do is to make him get drunk. And when a person is drunk, intoxicated, you don't really know what you are doing. Right? And that became a problem. And that becomes an obvious difficulty which we're going to look into. And so it happened, and the things that were planned when they were carried out. And the firstborn went in, lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Now, it happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. And then you go in and lie down with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So this was now planned, not only for herself. And the second time round, did Lot understand what happened? Not really. Remember, he's old, he's dejected, he's depressed, he's drunk. But those things were just not good combination. And again, we read, "Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose." Now that becomes a very big problem. Right? So as we look at what evil can do, we just have to take note of this. Is it an evil thing to have no lineage? No. Is it an evil thing not to get married? No. But to plan incest is wickedness and evil that we should never even cross. The thought should never even cross our mind. But that's how it was. The influence that they had growing up in Sodom and Gomorrah, where people did whatever they liked. If there were people who wanted to do violence, who wanted to have all kinds of sexual relationship with anybody they like, if they cannot get their way, they just want to bully their way through. And so if you were to take a whole look at everything that is there, then you begin to realize that we are looking at something very, very serious. And so, unfortunately, the nature of things are such that, verse 36, "Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father." It's an unfortunate thing, and Lot didn't even know what happened. In time to come, he would find out, but by then, you know, Lot had completely faded out of the biblical picture. Completely faded out, no matter how you look at it. And so, the firstborn bore a son, and he called his name, and called his name Moab. Well, when we take a look at what happened over here, what does Moab mean? Literally, Moab means, the word Ab is the word father. And Mo is actually a prepositional idea. Literally, what Moab means is from the father. It's not a great name to have, to call a son from the father, especially when that father was her own father. The word "from the father" is not necessarily a bad situation if the first daughter had a husband and wanted to call him Moab, because it would be from a father that is legitimate, a father that came in marriage and everything else. That's not a problem. And so there was a little bit of a problem here, because how do you want to call a child? Usually you call a child after the name of a family member. You can call him Haran if you wish. You can call him Abraham if you wish. You can call him a number of possibilities because it's in a line of the family. But to say he's going to be called Moab will tell you that the problem is deeper than you think. Part of it is guilt because it came from the father. Part of it is defiance because it came from the father. Part of it is just sin because it came from the father. And so this name would now be symbolically used. See, in the Jewish mind, this idea of names is it's actually there all the time. So Isaac is called Isaac because, you know, Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed. So he was called Isaac. Jacob was called what he was, a heel grabber, because he grabbed the heel of the brother as he was born. So they call him heel grabber, Jacob. But when it came to the situation when Moab is called what he was from the father, this will always be the guilty past. If the child grows up and he would ask, "Who is my father?" And the mother will say, "It's your grandfather." And this will be a name that the boy will have to live with. Now, he's going to grow up as he, if he's a normal boy, he's going to grow up angry, he's going to grow up resentful, he's going to grow up with a grid of anger, a lot of hatred in the heart. How did this happen? Why did you let this happen? Moab was the name of the child, and he will grow up resenting and hating anything to do with Lot and his lineage, Israel, because they shared the same background. Moab will now become an antagonist to all that Lot and his family stood for. And Moab would be the enemy of Israel. And with time, it became a very fierce adversary to Israel. That's a sad reality. The second one had a slightly gentler name. He was called Ammon. And the idea of Ammon was that of one who would be a teacher, a one who would be a builder, meaning to say, you know, we're going to build. We're going to learn these lessons. We are going to be taught by life. These are lessons that we must learn. We must learn them well. Unfortunately, Ammon did not learn the right lessons. Ammon was obviously very close to Moab. That's all they had. That's all they had. They had. They couldn't go back to Zoar. They couldn't go back. So where do they live? And when you live out in the mountainous areas and you don't have a lot of neighbors, you don't have a lot of friends to play with, and you only have each other, you can understand the bond that existed between the two brothers. And for the rest of their lives, Moab and Ammon were always working together. They will not fight with each other. They were always looking out for each other. Ammon is going to build too, but not necessarily in the right way. You know, there are so many deep lessons we must learn, and we must learn them well. And that is the fact that we cannot rely on human reasoning and wisdom alone. Let's go back to what she reasoned. And she said, "Our father is old," a fact. There is no man on the earth to come in to us as is the custom of all the earth. Incorrect. That was the old way of speaking about marriage. Right? Now, that is not correct. The reasoning is flawed. It is erroneous. It is evil. It is sinful. And that is a problem. So when human reasoning is relied upon solely, and we take God out of the picture, we take faith out of the picture, we take humility out of the picture, Lord could have gone back to the uncle any day, any time. He did not. Right? The daughters had no other relatives there at that day. Literally were on their own. Unfortunately, that was the situation. What are lessons are we learning? The grim reality is that when mistakes are made, they can be easily overlooked. But when sin is perpetrated, it's a different story. Because the grim reality is that the repercussions, the consequences of sin of this kind will extend to the next generation. In fact, it will extend to many generations after that. And so we read in Proverbs 3:5, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding. This is an example of how leaning upon one's understanding can lead to literal disaster. And that's what we're having here, a disaster of a huge kind, right? Another lesson that we must learn is how sin can cause such great degeneration, right? A person can begin so well. We read about how Lot was wealthy. The land, he said, was too small. They were quarreling. That is actually not a true perception. Because the land was much larger than they could imagine. How many sheep and how many herds do they really, really have that you occupy the whole land of Canaan? That's not possible. But there we go. He wanted wealth. He looked at the plains of Jordan, and he decided that the best place, the best thing to do is to get out of his uncle's shadow, out of his uncle's company, out of all his talk about God. And he just went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. And this was his compromise. The very thing that he sought for went up in smoke. And worse than that, his dignity, his good name, everything was lost along the way. This is what sin can cause to happen. It can cause such a sense of degeneration that Lot is almost unrecognizable from the young person that he was following his uncle to the point of such degeneration. This is the nature of sin, and we need to watch out for this because it is devastating. It is results. On the other hand, we have Abraham, and we read of how Abraham believed in the Lord, Genesis 15:6, and how he found faith in the Lord, and how he fed on that faith, although not all the time effectively. And he had faith that saw him go down in history as a man of faith. And that's our challenge today, isn't it? We may not be Abraham directly. We may not be Lot directly, God forbid. But the same crossroads are there. One, to choose to have faith in God, to follow him, feed on that faith, and have the desired fruit. or to choose well, to choose sin, to compromise with all the things which are evil, and then at the end of life, find that you've lost everything. Well, that's our challenge today. If you are at the crossroads of life and you ask yourself, what should I choose? And the answer must be very obvious. There is only one choice: faith in God. Trust Him, and it will be counted to you for righteousness as well. Let me encourage you, let me urge you, find that faith in God that Abraham found, and your life would be significantly different. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the example of Abraham and how he found faith, how he fed on that faith, and then how it bore fruit one day for him. We pray, Father, that you will help us to understand what that means. Help us to find faith too. It may start with a small faith. Help us to feed on this faith, and then to see how this faith will lead us. Help us to grow wiser and stronger. Help us to recognize the danger of sin. And we pray that you would forgive us and cleanse us where we lean only on our own understanding instead of turning to you. Grant us your grace and your mercy, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.